There was a few things I was taught as a child to believe in, only to grow up and find out that they were a disappointment. They're not true. Nothing more than a mere fairy tale. But I'm glad there's one thing I was taught as a child. Amen. That the longer I live, and the more I investigate it, and the more I look at it, the more I see how real it is. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's those things that are childish, and when you grow up, they just kind of go by the wayside. But I'm glad there was an old book that my mother told me was God's Word. Yeah. Amen. You can turn to Ephesians chapter number 4, but I just think I'll bootleg a little bit right here. Amen. Everywhere you turn, they're changing it. Right. They're correcting it. Yeah. I just heard one preacher recently, and he made the statement about how he believed the King James Bible was the Word of God. But then yet, while he was preaching, corrected it twice. Yeah. Well, if you believe it's the Word of God, why are you trying so desperately to fix it? Amen. Amen. I'm glad we're in a place where we can believe the book. Amen. And I don't think you're an idiot for it, and you don't think I'm an idiot for it. Amen. Somebody said, well, when you get a little educated, we just educated enough to know the real deal when we got it. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I believe it. Amen. Yes, I'm glad I didn't grow up and go to some Bible school and learn that, well, God didn't literally. He didn't literally part the Red Sea. Yeah, literally did. Well, he didn't really come down and set in a fiery furnace. Yeah, he literally did. Amen. Well, Daniel wasn't literally in a lion's den. That was a figure. No, he literally did. Jesus literally was born of a virgin. Literally. Literally. I mean, just as real as the nose on the front of your face. I don't know. I guess the older I get, the little bit more cantankerous I get. And I don't know. I go to places where they're supposed to be Bible believing, and we stand on the King James Bible, but then you gotta have the Greek to explain it. I don't know. It just gets up under. I don't mean to get an attitude tonight before I preach, but it just bugs me. Amen. I catch you fixing this Bible in your Sunday school class. We'll fix you, or we'll get a new teacher. Amen. Well, amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, amen. I believe the book. Y'all believe that? I do. I believe this old book, amen. One preacher said, I preach the King James Bible. That phrase worries me. And I hear it, I travel the country, and I'm not bragging on me tonight, but I see a lot more of church than what you do. Now, I get outside these walls quite a bit. And I hear these statements, while we preach the King James Bible. Yeah, we preach it too, but we carry that thing a little bit further. We believe it. Amen. 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 Ain't got nothing to do with the sermon tonight. They just sung the song, kind of cranked my tractor a little bit. Amen. I still believe the old book. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ain't going to like it, but we're going back where we were Wednesday night. Wednesday night we talked about the unity of the church, and I got a little bit carried away, but it does you good to get carried away every now and then. Amen. And some people might have got a little sideways. I don't know, but I was probably a little sideways while I was preaching. Amen. Somebody said you sounded like you were mad. Let me just, I'm not mad. I'm on the defense mode. I feel like the devil is maybe using some of our people against some of our people. That's inward struggle, and I don't like it. Amen. Somebody that said that the church will not explode, but it might implode. That means blow up from the inside out. We're not under attack from the world. We're under attack from within. Somebody said, are we having church problem? Nothing major, nothing big, nothing most preachers would probably even worry about. But I have a vision for the future of this place. And I don't know exactly what it is. I just know it's doing more than what we're doing now. I don't know where or what capacity, but I do know this. It's going to include each and every one of us. Amen. Somebody asked me recently, do you think I have a future at Happy Valley? Here's the answer to that question. Do you want one? Do you want one? I believe with all my heart this church has a place for everybody. Everybody, every color, every background, every side of society. I believe there's a place for everybody to serve the Lord in this church. We come to church sometimes with the attitude of being served. Amen. We visit people and talk with people who have visited the church, and they want to know what the church has to offer in this area and what the church has to offer in that area. And I often just want to look back and say, well, what are you bringing to the table? Amen. What have you got to offer? Can you sing? Can you teach? Can you pray? Can you witness? I mean, what have you got? We all right? Hey, God has given every one of us a measure of some sort of talent. And I believe He's put this place together to give you an avenue to put that talent to work. And there's nothing the devil would rather do, and I'm not going to rehash the whole Wednesday night message, but there's nothing the devil would rather do than to get in and stir this up. I've got to preach this week in a meeting where the preacher called me and he said, Brother Eddie, I know it's late in the year and I usually call you quicker than this, but I almost didn't have the meeting. He said about half my people left. Now, that would be devastating here. But there, half of his people would be half of these front four pews. When you've only got 15 and you take half of that, you understand what I'm saying? He said, but you know what? I made up my mind I wasn't going to give up that easy. He said, God put me here and God put us here, and I'm not going down without a fight. He said, we're going on with the meeting regardless. I said, amen for you, preacher. He said, would you come if it's only a handful? I said, I have for years. I said, half a handful ain't going to hurt my feelings none. Amen. Amen. We all right? Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll look at it just for a little bit. On Wednesday night, we looked at the plea for unity. The plea for unity. In our text here, we're going to read, Paul says, I beseech you. We talked about how that word beseech is a strong term. It's almost a begging sense of the word. He says, urging us that we get along. Amen. And I want to urge you to get along. Hey, listen, and you'll get along when this thing gets bigger than you.
That's right, preacher.
You'll get along when this thing gets to the point where you don't care who gets the credit.
That's right.
As long as God gets the glory. Amen.
Yeah.
You won't mind sowing and somebody else watering,
yeah, right,
and God giving the increase. You won't mind that. Amen. You won't care if the preacher gets up and said we had one saved in Sunday school but failed to mention your class. That won't bother you. You'd be surprised the things that get up under people's skin. A lot of times it's not what we say, it's what we fail to say. Had a lady get mad and walk out of the church one day, and God bless her heart, I love her, but there was a family member expecting a baby, and I announced that so-and-so was going to be a pawpaw and failed to mention that so-and-so was going to be a grandma. Just failed to mention. Boom, out the door to go. Can you believe that? You think you're above it?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
You're not. The devil will crawl right up in the pew where you are,
right,
and he'll scoot right up next to you and say, he doesn't appreciate you.
You're right.
Well, he mentioned so-and-so, but he didn't mention you.
Amen.
Y'all all right? He'll drive a wedge in your heart.
Amen.
And a thorn in your flesh.
Yes, sir.
Look, he ain't got to worry about drugs and alcohol.
All right.
Illicit sex and all that kind of junk. If he can just get us to hate each other. If he can get us to hate each other, that's far better than some sexual scandal. That's far better than some kind of addiction somewhere. If he can get us hating one another, he's got us where he wants us. How in the world can we love the world when we don't get along with each other?
Amen.
We sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, or oh, how I love Jesus. How dare us sing, oh, how I love Jesus when we don't love each other? I love seeing people in this altar and hugging on one another. I like that. As long as it's girls hugging on the girls and the boys hugging on the boys. Or the kids hugging on the parents and the parents hugging on the kids. I like that. Amen? That's a good sign in a church. When people who are mature enough as Christians to say, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to hurt you. Would you forgive me? Amen. Last week we talked about the plea for unity. And as Paul's plea is my plea. Here, let's just make it simple. Let's get along. Let's make up our minds we're going to get along. We looked at the words in Paul's plea for unity, the words. He used some strong words. He talked about walking worthy of our vocation. We'll read the text in a minute. He used that word beseech. He talked about the unity of the Spirit of God and endeavoring to keep that unity. Boy, I mean, some pretty strong words. Then we talked about not only the words in the plea, but we talked about the witness in the plea. The witness in the plea. Let me say it again. The witness in the plea.
Amen.
I'm trying not to go back where I was last Wednesday night, but I hate it when I travel halfway across the country, in some cases all the way across the country, and people there know more of the gossip in my church than I do. Y'all can say amen or oh me. I don't get mad much, but that chaps my hide.
Amen.
Y'all all right? Listen, if we have trouble, let's not advertise. We're trying to reach a lost and a dying world. We're trying to entice them in, not discourage them from coming in. Don't put your problems with your brother and sister on Facebook.
Amen.
And then your preacher have to travel halfway around the country and people look at you and go, well, I heard.
Right.
Well, what do you mean you heard? You ain't. Why do you know? Well, I read on Facebook.
Yeah.
Would to God some of you go home, shut it off.
Amen.
Just kill it. We talked about the witness. The worst witness this church can have is that you can't get along with each other. Amen. That's the worst witness of this church. The greatest witness of this church is that we love each other. That sinners come in here on a Sunday morning, sit in the balcony on the back row, and they look around, and they see you fellowshipping, laying in the altar together, and they go, wow, these people really love each other. I grew up where it was common for Baptists to hate one another's guts. And it ought not to be that way. This side of the church, or love this side of the church.
Amen.
Amen. In the middle of the church, or love both sides of the church. In the middle, in the balcony, it doesn't matter. Amen.
Amen.
I love the way, I know I'm probably going to get scattered again tonight. I really don't care. I've been here long enough. I can scatter if I want to. Amen.
Amen.
One thing I really love about our church is you know, a lot of times when you're preaching, you know where people always sit. So if you want to look at somebody or reference somebody, you always look. Around here, you can't never tell. I like it that y'all move around. Amen. Tells me you don't care who you sit by. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Some of y'all ought to start looking around. Somebody that ain't been around here long, you're just like, I'm just going to go sit with them Sunday morning. I'm going to get out of my little comfort zone. This is my area. Don't touch it. I'm going to get out of that. I'm going to go sit with somebody and tell them, hey, I'm glad you're in church this morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, okay. We talked about the witness of the plea. The words of the plea, get along. The witness of the plea. Man, how we act in here represents how we're perceived out there. And whether you believe it or not, how do they know what goes on in here? You tell it. You tell it in your countenance when you walk in on your job on Monday. Amen. Do you make your church look appealing to lost people? Amen. Do you live a life? He told us to walk worthy of our vocation. Do you make the gospel enticing to people? Or when they find out that you're a Christian, are they shocked?
Yeah, come on. Uh-huh. Maybe.
Y'all listening?
Yeah.
Buddy, the people that work with you, they know you.
Yes, sir. Right.
Brother William Couch is here tonight. He used to say, I hate to even use a word from the pulpit, but I'd hit my finger with a hammer or get hurt on the job, and I'd always stomp my feet and throw a fit, and I'd holler, dang.
Yeah.
He said that was preacher cousin. You remember that? He said the preacher's cousin. Amen. Hey, listen, man, we ought to have a testimony on our job. Amen. We're all human. We all make stupid mistakes. But we ought to carry this thing out of here, and the world ought to be able to see out there what they see in here. Amen? Then we talked about the wisdom of the plea. Tonight, I don't want to talk about so much the plea for unity, but I want to talk about the problem of unity. The problem of unity. It's real simple, and I won't keep you long. Y'all testified and sang a good bit tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another. Man, well, I could get stuck right there a long time again. I'm going to be careful. In verse number 3, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, there is one body and one spirit. Sometimes there's more than one spirit in here. Amen. Let me just say that again. Sometimes there's more than one spirit in here. Man, we're supposed to be able to discern the spirit. Amen. He said, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Well, how about that? Tonight, I want to look just for a few minutes at this thing of the problem with unity. And I'm going to boil it down to two simple things. And here's what unity boils down to. It boils down to two great essentials. Number one, the greatest essential for unity. Don't be careful now. You'll miss it. This is real deep. We got to love each other. That's an essential for unity. Do you understand that? Let me say it again. That is an essential for unity. In Matthew chapter number 22, the Lord said that He commanded that we love one another. If we're going to have unity in the church, there's no way we can have that without loving each other. Yes, what makes a marriage last? How many years, Brother Atkins? 55 years. 55 years. That's a long time, Miss Brenda, to live with him. I was going to say with her something. I got more respect. 55 years. In 55 years, Brother Atkins, have you made any mistakes? Oh, my. Hey, you ever let the ministry get in between you and your family? I'm sure. Yes, sir. But, Lord, she's still sitting right there back there behind him tonight. Amen. After 55 years of marriage, how many years in the ministry?
I don't know.
A bunch. Since 1972. And they're still together. And if they don't love each other, they're putting on a pretty good show. What's causing that relationship to continue after all these years? They love each other. It sure ain't his looks. Miss Barbara's a beautiful lady. And Brother Atkins is... He's Brother Atkins. Amen. Amen. Hey, there's a whole lot of us married over our heads in this place. Amen. You gripe about your wife, you better look in the mirror, buddy. And then take another good look at her and shut your mouth. Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to help me right there. I'm telling you, if we're going to get along with each other, we've got to love each other. Because love will cause that forbearing of one another. Amen. Somebody say, I've had it up to here. If you love them, you'll take it up to here.
That's right.
You understand that? I've had about as much of this as I can take. Not if you love them.
Amen.
Not if you love them. Had a preacher tell me a while back, he said, if my folks don't straighten up, I'm going to resign. I said, you told me you loved them people last time we talked. What I told him, he's a younger preacher. I just felt at liberty. I let him have it a little bit. He said, oh, I do love them, but I'm tired of them not. I said, whoa. I said, you can't make them do nothing. I said, your job's to lead and your job's to tell them. It's God's job to turn them. Now, do you still love them or don't you? He's still there. And every time he gets in one of them moods where he wants to resign, for some reason he calls me. Reckon why? I remind him of why he's there. If we're not careful, this becomes a social event and not a family event. Somebody said, why do y'all call each other brother and sister? Why is it brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? Because that's what it is. When we entered this body of Christ, we became brothers and sisters. Amen? So we're more than just a church. We are a church family. And family loves one another. Amen. How many of you got family members ain't perfect? How many of you got family done stuff you ain't really proud of? You still love them? You still love them? Hey, I got family that's made some mistakes. And when it's just me and them together, I don't mind pointing them out and having a heated disagreement with them over it. But you better not be pointing them out. Are y'all listening? We better learn to love each other. Tell yourself or remind yourself why you joined this church to begin with. When you're having difficult days loving the people in this church, and people will make it difficult for you to love them, remind yourself why you joined this church to start with. People join this church and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And then they get to knowing folks. You're going to find out the same thing's true about the next one you join, and the next one you join, and the next one you join, and the next one you join. One you join. The greatest two essentials for having and maintaining unity in the church is that we love each other. We used some for examples the other night. Brother Joe was one of them. Well, why is he sitting there tonight? Because we love him. Because we love him. I know preachers who brag about churching people. Do y'all know what that term means? That means kicking you out. I don't kick nobody out. I don't keep them in. Especially when they're in a mess. Y'all okay? One guy told me, he said, man, you need to stand up in church on Wednesday night and call a conference and vote so-and-so out. He smokes pot. I said, I know he smokes pot. I know he smokes pot. He's in the right place. He's where he needs to be. If he's having a little problem struggling with something, what good do you think it's due for the church to kick him to the curb? The one place where he could get help, if he's coming, he must still be looking for help. And I told the fellow, I said, besides that, he really enjoys my preaching. Might have been the weed, I don't know, amen? Amen. Somebody said, oh, Brother Eddie thinks it's all right to smoke pot. No, I don't. Need to go home and flush that junk down the toilet if you got it, amen? Amen. I mean, it's sin, brother. You ought not to do it, but I'm not going to withdraw fellowship from you because you got some sin in your life. I guarantee if we look close enough, we'd find sin in the life of every member in this place. We just love to categorize them and put them in this category and that category and then compare ourselves to others and go, at least I don't. 1st essential for loving or for having and maintaining unity in the church is we love each other. Amen. Hey, there's been a time or two some of y'all made me mad. Amen. There's been a time or two I've made some of y'all mad. But because you love me and because I love you, we're still here and we still have fellowship and we shout and give God the glory for it all. Amen. We okay? Greatest. Hey, you say, well, what if I don't love everybody? You better get to praying. You better get on your face and tell God you're sorry. Brother Thomas sitting back there, he don't care if I use him, I'm going to. Brother Thomas, I remember he just a young Christian, young preacher, just brand new in the ministry, on fire for God, laid in this altar crying and squalling one night. I asked him, could I help him pray about something? He said, yeah, pray for me, I hate people. That's what he told me. I hate people. I said, okay. Help you pray. Brother Thomas came here. I guess it'd be fair to say he is a racist. Somebody made a comment and it got back to me a while back that we had a KKK member working in our junior church. You're a liar. I'm just going to bluntly say it again. You are a bald-faced liar. If it's you who said that. And if it was you who said that and you've got a problem with what I'm saying, I'll be in my office after church. You're a liar. There is no way I'd put a busload of black children under the authority of somebody who hates their guts. And if you think he does, you're stupid. We all right, Brother Thomas, don't worry about who said that. They're an idiot. Y'all all right? You know what I've done over these years? I've prayed for Thomas Hogus. And I've watched God put a love in his heart for people that he didn't have when he got here. Well, Brother Thomas, I step out of line, you holler, brother, I'll shut up. Brother Thomas, the crowd he hung out with, that was their motivation. Hatred. Bitterness. Angriness. But God took all that out and replaced it with something bigger. Y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, brother, love will overcome that stuff. And if you're having problems loving each other, do like Brother Thomas did. Have sense enough to admit it and say, preacher, pray for me that I would love people like I ought to love people. Regardless of their color, regardless of their background. Hey, and it, Brother Thomas didn't look at me and say, I hate black people. He did not say that. I've never heard it out of his mouth. Not one time. I just want to set the record straight. Amen. He just said, I hate people. I believe like the little song, red, yellow, black, and white, I hate them all. They're disgusting in my sight. I believe that's the way he felt. I believe that was the song he came singing, amen. He didn't say, I hate this kind of people. He says, I hate people. Man, God, has God helped you with that, Brother Tom? I believe your countenance is evidence of what God has done. Amen. Hallelujah. And his hair's longer, that's right. Hallelujah. The hair of his head begin to grow again. Can you see? Amen. I'm telling you, if you've got a problem loving one another, you need to go to God about it. You don't need counseling. You need to get your heart right. You don't need to come, Brother Eddie, can I sit down with no? You don't need to sit down with me. You need to kneel down with him. You know you're supposed to love each other. That way, okay. You know, let me say it again. You know you're supposed to love each other. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Even though it's difficult sometimes. Number one essential to having and maintaining unity in the church is that we love each other. Well, Brother Eddie thinks we're all just a bunch of robots. No, I don't. Brother Eddie thinks we're all just supposed to agree on everything all the time. I didn't say that. I said we're supposed to love each other. Loving each other overcomes disagreements.
Yes,
are we going to disagree? Of course we are. We're human. If it gets to the place where you agree with everything I say, we got a problem. This has truly become a dictatorship and not a leadership. I'm not one who demands you believe everything I believe. I give you enough rope to form your own opinion. And if it ain't lined up identical to mine, I don't care. Don't sow discord among the brethren. Don't run around, well, I just don't believe like Brother Eddie does. Don't do that because I ain't doing it about you. Are you all right? We ought to be more mature than that. Amen. My love is bigger than our disagreement. And that's the problem I'm seeing in a lot of churches. The disagreements get bigger than the love. The hurt feelings get bigger than the love. The tongue wagging gets bigger than the love.
Amen.
Amen. Love is essential if we're going to maintain unity and fellowship in our church. Sister Glenda, where'd she go? Glenda, where are you? There she is. Moved on me. Sister Glenda, we grew up in church together. First Wednesday night of every month. Brother Greg, you remember what we had? First Wednesday night every month. What was it?
Conference.
First Wednesday night. Somebody asked me recently, that had been visiting our church for a while, said, when do y'all have conference? When we need to. We don't vote on whether or not to buy toilet paper.
Amen.
We don't vote on whether or not to put gas in the buses or change a motor when one blows up.
Amen.
That's just part of it, amen? Amen? Conference. Before we'd ever, the conference went by the rules of decorum. When we have a business meeting, we'll use the rules of decorum. First question, before we enter conference, everybody at peace and fellowship in your heart with the brethren, let it be known by saying I. Half that church would lie and go, I. Any oppose, the same sign. Glenda, I never heard anybody go, I oppose. My heart ain't right. I'm mad at so-and-so. I've been gossiping and running my mouth. I don't need to be attending to church business. I need to get my heart right first. Why, the preacher had a heart attack and fell over graveyard dead. But you know what I'd really like to know? If we're at peace and fellowship, could we signify it by saying I? If we truly are, wouldn't that be a blessing? If we could sit in church in a congregation the size of this and everybody say, I am at peace and fellowship with my brethren. I do not have aught against my brother. Everything is fine in our Father's house. Man, wouldn't that be a blessing? And I'm not foolish enough to think that everybody in this place could say I and mean it tonight. But can I tell you this? I can. I truly can. Do I get disappointed? Yes. Do I get discouraged? Yes. Do I get disgusted? Yes. Yes. Sometimes y'all treat me like a janitor. You make a mess, then you bring it to me. And how do I fix this? How do I clean this up? I get disgusted with some of the things that people do. Do your children ever disgust you? That you still love them, don't you? Amen. And I'm not saying that you're my children. You're not. You're the flock that God has given me to lead. Amen. And sometimes it disgusts me, some of the things you allow in your life. But it doesn't. The disgust or the discouragement or the disappointment is never bigger than the love I have for you. Amen. We all right? Love is essential for maintaining unity in the church. We've got to love each other. Got to. If you're having trouble with it, you need to pray about that. Amen. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. It didn't just say all the brethren that are right with God and walking right and talking right and doing right. It just said love the brethren. We ought to pray God give us that. Essential number two. Number one is that we love one another. Secondly, we must yield to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Yield your members. We've got to give. That's going to be a problem. We've got to give the Lord control of our lives. Some of us are saved, but we're not yielded. Our flesh still runs the show. Well, bless God, I get mad. I can't help it. I just say what goes through my mind. That's carnal. I'm sorry, preacher, if they run their mouth about me, that's carnal. They're going to run their mouth about you. Do you got to show you're equally weak in the faith by responding? You all right? How'd Jesus deal with it? Judas just sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus had a choice name for him, didn't he? Anybody remember what it was? Somebody said it loud. Friend. Friend. Did he mean it? I believe he did. I don't think he said it sarcastically. But I think that word friend fell heavy, heavy on Judas's heart. When Jesus knew what he had done, so did Judas. But yet he walks up in the garden, kisses him and betrays him. And yet he still calls him friend. Peter preached on Pentecost and thousands were saved. But the night they crucified the Lord, he denied him three times. Who's the first person Jesus spoke to by the fire? It was Peter. Levi sang about it tonight. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? You can take your phileo and agape stuff and flush it down the toilet where it belongs. Well, there's three kinds of love in John chapter 21. No, there's one kind of love. Well, the word translated phileo and the word translated agape Oh, you're crazy. Why can't you just take the Bible for what it said? Well, he asked him three times, do you love me? It's got to be three different kinds of love. No, you idiot. Peter denied him three times.
That's right.
Well, you're just too simple-minded. It's that simple. It's that simple. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Well, feed my sheep. Peter, I said, do you love me? Three times. Make up for it, son. We okay? I believe Jesus loved Peter as much as he ever had. Amen. We've got to learn to yield our bodies to the Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit take. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where's in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The problem in our churches and the reason we have church trouble is because we're not spiritual people, we're carnal people. It's carnal people that get mad and cuss one another out. It kills me when it's the people who's been saved 15, 20, and 30 years wearing their feelings on their sleeve. I'm not mad, I'm just hurt. No, won't you just say it like it is? You're mad. Amen. Sometimes as a pastor, I want to do like my mother used to do me and my sister. She'd whoop us both. Didn't matter whose fault it was, we both got a whooping.
That's right.
And then she'd make me kiss her.
Amen.
Kiss her and tell her you're sorry. Something just gross about kissing your sister, ain't it, boys?
Amen.
Zachariah's going, you got that right. I'm with you, brother. I feel your pain. Kiss her and tell her you're sorry. I'd kiss my little sister and say, sorry. No. That meant more licks.
Yeah.
Say it like you mean it. It's hard to say it like you mean it when you don't. Come on. We're all grown up now, but we still act the same way. I'm sorry. And then mama would tell her, now tell your brother you're sorry. My little sister always had a tender heart. I hated that. She'd get it on the first try every time. Her old lip would quiver. I'm sorry. Man, why can't I do that? Amen. Y'all listening? We need first essential, love one another. I may not be the perfect pastor in the world. I know I'm far from it, but I love you. I mean that with all my heart. I love you. Every one of you. Somebody said, oh, the preacher's got favorites. No, there's some who gets more of my attention. That's true. Well, I wish Brother Eddie paid me that much attention. Well, maybe if you was, never mind. Sometimes it's the less spiritual that gets the most attention. Some of you have graduated that you don't need as much as my attention as you used to. That's a good sign you're doing good. That I don't got to hold your hand all the time. Y'all all right? But I love you with all my heart. And I don't love one of you no more than I love any of the others. Amen? Listen, the problem of unity. The problem of unity. I'm not going to turn there because I know what time it's getting. I want you to write this down. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. If you know anything about your Bible, you know that's given us the fruit of the Spirit. And what I want you to do all week, this week, every day, I want you to read Ephesians 5. I believe it's 22, 23, and 24. About three verses there, I believe. Galatians. Did I say Ephesians? I meant Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the book before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, down through around 23 or 24. I want you to read those fruits of the Spirit and pray God give every one of those to you. Do it every day this week. Is that okay? Here's the problem with maintaining unity in the church. You know what the problem is? It's people. It's that simple. One preacher said, my church would be great if it weren't for the people in it. I said it to my face. My church would be great if it wasn't for the people in it. And I thought,
I understand that to a point. But if it weren't for the people in it, there wouldn't be no church. There are some pastors that can only pastor a handful of people because he's going to only find a handful of people that'll act just like he does, believe just like he does, talk just like he does, dress just like he does, walk just like he does, live up to his expectations. You all right? And that's all he'll ever reach is that few brainwashed idiots. That's all he'll ever reach. My church would be great if it weren't for people. What a statement. But on the other hand, that's true. This would be a great church if it wasn't for you. Come on, there's three pointing back this way. This would be a great church if it wasn't for me. You don't know how many times I've thought about it and prayed, Lord, these folks need a pastor. Did you ever pray that prayer, Brother Atkins? Oh, I know what my church needs is a pastor, amen? Especially when I go off and I preach for a pastor. There's one pastor, Brother Tony Shirley and I, preach for together every year. And we both leave saying the same thing. Happy Valley needs a pastor. He and Tony will say, yeah, New Manna too. I mean, brother, that guy just makes us feel like, because he's one of the best pastors I've ever known. Dry as cracker juice. Good night. He loves his church and he loves his people and he knows how to pastor. This church would be perfect if it weren't for people. That's the problem with unity. He says, is that simple? Yeah. That's where every bit lies. Carnality, carnal people. Amen? If it wasn't for people, our church would be a great place. Now, if it wasn't for people, there wouldn't be no place. If it wasn't for the people in the church, you'd be home watching your favorite show tonight. Thank God for the people in our church. Let me give you some thoughts tonight, and we're going to go to the house. If you'll just realize these things, I had a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to leave it out. I got two pages. I ain't even... Listen carefully. You need to remember some things. I hope you'll jot them down. If you're taking notes, take notes. I'm going to give you some things that will help you to maintain the unity in our church. Y'all ready? Number one, remember, we're all sinners. You okay? Remember that we're all sinners who possess a fallen nature. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Wouldn't you like to be a sinner too? Amen. I'm a sinner. And you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When somebody sins against you, remember the last time you did the same to somebody else. Well, somebody said something about me behind my back. And have you not ever done that? Remember, we're all sinners. And sinners do stupid stuff. Amen. We possess a fallen nature. Listen, remember this. Number two, sometimes as sinners, we're selfish. And we're self-centered and we want our own way. It'll do you good to remember that. As I try to lead this church, I have to understand sometimes people are self-centered and they want their own way. And if they don't get it, they'll hold their breath. Are y'all okay? I've come a long way. You know what? When I first started, Brother Charles, it was my way or the highway. Brother Charles said, yep. I ain't like that no more. Now, there's some things, brother, that I'm so staunch, you ain't going to bend me. We ain't having contemporary music. I don't care if he votes for it. I'm getting an eyeball right now. I'm serious heart attack. If Brother Charles come in here and said, I think we ought to start having contemporary music, I'd say, I'm sorry, Doc, we ain't doing it. Amen. If Brother Charles said, you're going to have contemporary music or I'm leaving, I'm say, that black truck's right out there. If you leave Janice and Bibba and Johnny and all them, you leave them right where they go. Take your contemporary music and leave us alone. We'll. Hey, man. Are you serious? I'm dead serious. Amen. There's some things I just ain't going to fuss and fight over. I don't care what color your Sunday school room is. As long as it's got people in it. Amen. We ain't going to fight over silly stuff. People are self-centered, selfish, and all they want sometimes is to have their way. There's certain areas where I'm just going to let you have your way.
when it comes to affecting the doctrine of this book, what we preach, then we'll stand our ground and say, no, we're not going there.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, we're all sinners. We possess a fallen nature. Remember, sometimes we're selfish. You've got to remember that includes you. That includes you. You need to learn to let people have some liberty in what they're doing. Well, bless God, I taught Sunday school for 30 years, and I sure wasn't. You made some stupid ideas and decisions yourself. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Give them room to grow. I hate a bunch of used-to-be's trying to tell everybody else. Unless they're sincerely trying to help. There's a difference. We all right? Sometimes we're all a little bit self-centered. Remember that. Number three, by nature, we're jealous. By nature, we're jealous. I remember sitting on the front pew at White Oak and getting mad when a young preacher stood up and said, I've been called to pastor such and such church. Then another young preacher stood up and said, I've been called to pastor such and such church. I wasn't happy for them. I'm being honest. I was jealous. I was preaching out way more than they were. And they got established churches with deacons and everything. The Lord had to deal with my heart. You listening? You better watch it. Jealousy will wreck you. It'll mess you up. I had to get on that altar and tell God I'm sorry. Amen. I tell God it's okay. Lord, bless them. Help them. I hope they do well. I mean, I had to really get to where I wanted them to do good. When you get to a point where somebody's doing something in the ministry and you hope they fail at it, something's wrong with you. You say, Brother Eddie, you wouldn't never. Oh, yeah. Y'all okay? Oh, jealousy. Sometimes we get angry when we think we've been wronged. Sometimes we get angry when we think we've been wronged. You're going to get wronged. You're going to get done wrong. Let Jesus be your example. Reckon he got done wrong?
Yeah.
Y'all listening? I don't know. I think that was number four. If it was, number five. Sometimes we act out of spite, hoping to hurt those we think have hurt us.
Right.
Have you ever read a comment on Facebook or on the internet and laid in bed thinking about what to say back? I had somebody that I don't even know. A few years ago, there was a blog. I didn't even know what a blog was. It's something for people who have a no life. That's what a blog is. Look it up in the dictionary. People who might ought to think about suicide. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I didn't mean that. Seriously, I got on there, and here's a guy telling the world all about me, my relationship with my daddy. He don't even know me. He don't even know my daddy. Talking about all the rules in our church, who's welcome and who ain't. You're not welcome here if you got a tattoo. You're not welcome here if you're wearing an earring or if a woman's got on a pair of pants. You're not welcome. You're not even allowed in the door. Son, I got mad. My first thought, you know what it was? It wasn't to defend. It wasn't to defend my church. It was to defend me. It was a personal attack. And I laid in the bed and I had it worded out. Oh, I was going to wax very eloquent. I made it spiritual, Brother Freddie. I had scripture. And I was fixing to jump on this blog and do a little blogging of my own. I was going to preach this cat a sermon that, brother, he couldn't be able to do nothing with but go, oh, me. And I'm laying in my bed imagining all I'm going to type on that computer, and the Holy Spirit said, let's not do that.
Amen.
Answer not a fool according to his folly.
Amen.
Let's just let that lay. Do you know what I did? Nothing. Just kept doing what I do. I didn't let it affect me. If people gossip about you and you read it, you probably first ought to see if they're at least telling the truth. And if they are, there might be an area in your life you need to work on. Amen. You okay? Lots of times with gossip, it has a hint of truth. Sometimes. You all right? But the Lord said, uh-uh, don't get angry. Was it right that somebody got on there and did that? No, it wasn't right. But it wouldn't have made it any more right if I'd have got on there and lit them up.
Amen, brother.
Amen. I'm talking about maintaining unity. That was not somebody in our church, I don't think. I sure hope it wasn't. If it was somebody in here, you sure don't love your church. If you're coming here and you're making statements like that, you're an idiot for being here.
Amen.
If you hate it that bad, man, you ought to be somewhere else. You're miserable. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, sometimes we act out of spite. I don't get mad. I get even. No, let's not get even.
Amen.
You want to get even? Love God.
That's right.
Love them. Bible talks about heaping coals of fire
That's
on their
right.
head.
Amen.
I've told you time and time again, there are people that hate my guts. I see them in Walmart, I chase them down.
Yeah.
I will. I'll go out of my way. I know, you know how Brother Robbie's a Walmart professional. You know how people hide from you in Walmart? Act like they didn't see you and they go down another aisle? I go down two aisles and cut them off. Hey, how you doing? I thought that was you. I run them down, shake their hand, tell them I love them.
Yeah.
Why? Because I can.
Amen.
And then they go, oh, Brother Eddie, it's so good to see you. And I think, well, why'd you run the other way? What was you hiding for? I found you inside that rack of clothes. Amen. Number five or six. Chase them in the dressing room if you have to. Part of our problem is we fail to forgive each other. Well, if they just say they're sorry, what if they don't? You going to carry that bitterness to your grave? What if they never ask for your forgiveness? You going to allow that to affect you the rest of your life? I don't care if they're not even here anymore. If you can't forgive them, forget going forward. Just forget it. Somebody done you wrong, you better forgive them for your sake. Amen. I have witnessed time and time again, people who have been done wrong, their spiritual life comes to a standstill, and the one that done them wrong is trucking on like nothing ever happened.
Right.
Why should their life be grand and yours be miserable? You need to forgive them. Amen. Amen. I know we ain't jumping pews, but I'm trying to help you. Part of that problem, number six, seven, whatever this is, we fail to love the Lord. Like we should. We fail to love the Lord like we should. And because of that, we can't love each other like we should. I believe the love of one another is a love of Jesus problem to start with.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I believe the heart of the problem is the condition of the heart. Every single time. Amen. Man, you fall in love with Jesus, you ain't got a problem loving me.
Right.
If he can love me, you can. And if he can love you, I can love you. Amen?
Amen.
Another problem. We allow our sinful natures to be manifest in our human interactions. We allow our sinful natures to be manifest in our human interactions. You interact with people every day. What are you saying, preacher? I don't understand that. Okay. You respond to that person who flips you a bird in traffic by giving them one back. Sinful nature. You respond to that one who cuts you off. Ain't nothing makes me madder than somebody nearly tear your front bumper off, cutting over in front of you,
and then they excuse it by going,
I didn't give you permission.
I'm fixing to ram you. I'm fixing to throw this thing in four-wheel drive and stomp you in the asphalt. Amen. That's our sinful nature. And we're allowing that thing to be manifest in our human interactions, and we ought not do that. Amen. Just because you don't feel spiritual all the time don't give you an excuse not to act it. Amen. We ought to act like Christians. Let's see. I'm almost done. Let's see. I'm going to stop right there. I have a desire. And a lot of you got the idea that Brother Eddie preached that Wednesday night. Now he's preaching this tonight. Boy, there's got to be a major problem. Not that I know of. Not that I know of. Anytime we got a crowd of people this big, somebody's talking about somebody, I'm sure. But right now, it ain't no big deal. It's not causing a church split. But I'm trying to preach this to get us to love each other like we should, to keep from that happening. We've got a job to do, and it's bigger than me, and it's bigger than you. And we've had 20 years together. I want 20 more. And I mean that from my heart. I want 20 more. I want the Lord to leave Brother Charles Dyer right here with me for another 20 years. I want that with all my heart. But if the devil has his way, he'll divide us up. He'll find some little issue where he can cause division and split us up. I mean, I don't want that to happen. I want us to be in this fight together when Jesus comes. Amen. There was not one incident or one thing that caused me to go this direction. It just the Lord led me this way. I'm not after nobody. If it hits you, it hits you. Amen. If it hits you, it hits you. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm praying somebody got convicted Wednesday night over their Facebook accounts. Got quiet on me again. Amen. Remember what I said. It doesn't matter if you write something bad on there about somebody else. If you read something bad about somebody else, you're just as guilty. Amen. I'm telling you, man, we got to love each other. In spite of each other. There are going to be days I'm harder to love than others. There are going to be days you're harder to love than others. And that's when we got to dig down and say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. It's like you parents. You pray, I guarantee you. Well, I don't know what that was. It sounded interesting. Legina did it. I see her. Yeah. Seriously. Man, you ever prayed, God, help me not to kill this child? Zechariah's going, You're alive because of prayer, big boy. I guarantee you. Amen. Y'all ever heard that shaken baby syndrome? Every mother in this room is going, God, give me patience. Give it to me quick. Amen. That's what we're going to have to deal with each other. We're going to have to pray, God, help me. Help me to love him in spite of what he said or what he did or what she said or what she did. Lord, help me to be more like you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all get us a song. BJ, everything okay back there, buddy? Sound like the Tinker Toys hit the wall. Amen. That's fun. Amen.